Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory for your faithful God. We adore you for we are alive to be in church today. We are alive to praise you today. All glory unto you in Jesus' name. Mighty Father, we pray as we go into the study of your word that you teach us your word. And I yield myself as a vessel that you teach your children your message for this period. It's not my will, it's not my understanding, Lord, but you use me as a vessel to pass your message to your children. This I ask and pray for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so there's been a theme that has been occurring in the service style this morning, and I'm quite pleased because it just shows that the Spirit is one. And today, what I will be talking about is knowledge. And it's more from how knowledge can be used to achieve success. I've got a presentation which I'm going to be using today, and I'm going to be sharing that with us now. One second. All right, so I believe you can all see my screen. Can you? I need someone to just tell me yes.
Yes, we can. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Yes.
All right, so every year for the last few years I've been in the UK, I think it's October. Yeah, it's October every year. We used to go to London to FOL. And while we were there, almost the end of the service, Pastor Adeboye will come, will tell us to write down five things that we want God to do. Or is it five or ten that God wants to do for the following year? And we write all this and then begin to pray. We begin to pray, and at the end, Pastor Adeboye would then bless what we've written and said, God is going to do it, you know. And there's always so much excitement, and a lot of us would have written, oh God, we want this, we want that, we want to, you know, spiritual goals, career goals, financial goals. We put everything there and we are prepared for the next year. Then come January 1st, some of us as well would have put together some New Year resolutions, things we want to achieve for that year. And we put it all there waiting, you know, that, all right, God is going to do these things for us this year. Then after we put all that together, what do? We go back home and we carry on our life as usual, like what we normally do before. We just continue waiting for God to do what we've written in that paper. Now, part of the goals we've written, some of them are things where we cannot see. So if it's healing, you might not be able to do anything, that just keep praying for God to heal. Whereas some of these goals are things that are tangible, things you would like to achieve. But then what I notice in the Christendom is we go back home, we sit down, and then we begin to wait for miracles to happen. It's like we're waiting for lottery to happen. So imagine you've written a goal that, God, I want to move into my house next year. So we go back home and we're waiting for someone to knock on our door on a certain day and give us the key to that new house. Or someone says, I want a job, I want a new job. And we're waiting for someone to just call us one day and say, I found your CV online, and I think you'll be good for this new job, you know. Or we want to know God more. So part of our spiritual goals is we want to be closer to God, we want to do miracles for God, we want to win souls for God. So what do? We're waiting, like we'll sleep and just wake up one morning and or God will come to us in our dreams, and then we'll wake up and we start speaking in tongues, and we suddenly, you know God more by just like that. And I kept thinking, at the end of the year, a lot of us as Christians, those goals, some of it are not achieved. And we just pack it up. We don't revisit to find out why didn't we achieve those goals? Is it that then we start looking for excuses? Oh, it's not the right time. You know, God has a reason. All things work together for our good. We start quoting scripture just to make us feel better on why those goals have not been achieved. And I went back into the Bible and I thought to look at some case study of people that are in a similar position, but were successful. And I tried to see what made them different. What did they do differently to what believers are doing on a yearly basis? So the first person we're going to be looking at is Isaac and Jacob. You know, although Jacob got his blessings in a very funny way, but I want to focus more on the blessing that was released upon Jacob by his father, Isaac. So Genesis 27, if you open to Genesis 27, 27 to 29, we'll see, now this is Jacob. Isaac was getting old and he wanted to bless somebody, his child, his first child. And we all know the story of how Jacob came and deceived his father. All right, but let's focus on the blessing. So in 27, it says, so he came and kissed him, and Isaac smelt his clothing and blessed him and said, the scent of my son is like the aroma of a field which the Lord has blessed. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. Verse 28 says, now may God give you of the dew of heaven to water your land, and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord and master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. That's the end. That is the end of the blessing that was pronounced upon Jacob. So I went over this blessing and I thought, did Isaac actually say, oh, may you sleep and you wake up and you just see in your house a lot of sheep and a lot of crops and a lot of wine automatically appear? No, what he actually did was put a blessing upon some things that needs to be done by Jacob. So we can see the first one says, the dew of heaven to water your land. And I'm thinking, before the dew of heaven will water your land, you must have a land. Because Isaac didn't say, the dew of heaven will give you a land, then we'll water it. He said, the dew of heaven to water your land. Therefore, Jacob had to go and acquire a land for the dew of heaven to water it. It says the fatness of the earth. How would you get to the fatness of the earth? So the earth has got fatness, right? Jacob had to go and dig it. It says abundance of grain. He's not going to wake up and see his grain dropping from heaven into his compound. So in the case of he had to sow, plant, and he would get an abundance of grain. It talks about abundance of new wine. How do you get wine? You must have a vineyard. It wasn't a case of people will just come and dump the wine on your doorstep. You have to have a vineyard. Then it goes on, may people serve you. People can only serve you if you can afford those people. So I'm looking at that period then. You know, Jacob, faithful servants, he had to have faithful servants. And for him to do that, he must be able to afford to pay their wages. It says nations will bow down to you. The only reason nations will bow down to you is when you have something to offer to those nations. It's not by default. If you look throughout the Bible, the people that nations were bowing down to had something to offer. It wasn't a case of Jacob, now you receive the blessing, go and sleep. And when you wake up, people will just start calling you. President Trump will call you, or the Prime Minister of UK will call you tomorrow and start saying, I had a dream that you were my dreamer, and I need you. You must have something to offer. And then it goes on to generally bless him. And I kept prodding over this, and it made me to understand that Isaac released grace, a prayer of grace unto Jacob. that Jacob had to do some things, but when he does it, the enablement to do it has been released to him. And if you then look at how Jacob became successful, if we look at the story in Genesis 30, 37 to 43, Jacob spoke about how God revealed to him what he needed to do. God showed him knowledge or a business idea, a scientific idea of how he could make a lot of, how he could increase his goods, because he was trading, he was looking after sheep. And if you go into Genesis 31, 6 to 13, you can see how he Genesis 31 talks about him acknowledging that God gave him that business idea. In Genesis 30, 37 to 43, he talks about how he did it, how he made it back, and when the sheeps are mating, they look at it, and they come up with spot and everything. Yes. Some of you might say, oh, yeah, it wasn't him. It's from God, you know. Yes, I agree. But guess what? If he didn't have to do something, that wouldn't have happened. So God could have said, you know what, Jacob, you go lie down. Don't worry. Every time those animals mate, automatically they will come out with a speckle or the dot or whatever that will make them yours. He still had to do something, you know, to attract that blessing. And Jacob became very successful. He had all the promises the father released on him came to pass. He had a lot of servants. He had a lot of things, you know, and he was closer to God. And I thought, wow. But then I had to look at another case study of somebody that, okay, he did not have to do anything manually in terms of he didn't have to physically work, but was very, very successful. And that's the story of King Solomon. So let's look at how King Solomon, his own prayer in 1 Kings 3, 10 to 14. It says, now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now this, if you go earlier, God asked Solomon for something, for what would he want God to give unto him, and Solomon asked for wisdom, you know, and God said in verse 10, now it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself a long life, nor for wealth, nor for the lives of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself understanding to recognize justice. Behold, I have done as you asked. I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that no one before you was your equal, nor shall anyone equal to you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both wealth and honor, so that there will not be anyone equal to you amongst the kings for all your days. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandment as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days. Now, God says in verse 13, I have also given you what you have not asked, both wealth and honor. So I went by, like, wow, now this is God releasing blessing unto King Solomon. That is just like us. You know, at the beginning of year, we hear a word. God says, this year you will make it, or things have released blessings unto you. You know, when Pastor Deboye preaches during there for hell, he says it, this is your year. And we all shout, amen, you know. And I love, okay, how did Solomon actually become rich? You know, if you look at 1 Kings 4:21, it says people, tribute money was brought to Solomon because he was king. People were bringing tribute to him every now and then. He also said his feeding was taken care of by district. So just look at it as a country that has a president, and each state decides that, you know what, we will be the one, they made a rota that they will take turns to take care of the feeding of the king or the president. So they took turns and they were feeding. If you read that 1 Kings 4, around that verse 27, it talked about how big Solomon's family was and his, all his soldiers, everyone working in the palace, but their feeding was taken care of. So he did not even have to spend anything in feeding. But one key thing is in 29 to 34, the NIV version. It says, it talks about Solomon's fame. it's recorded that Solomon was known for his wisdom. You know, I went to do my research. Wisdom, how? It says the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So Solomon was known for the kind of knowledge he has acquired that was on the inside, and how he was able to proclaim judgment whenever matters arise. And in 1 Kings 10:10, he also talked about how he was able to build relationship with nations all around him. And when they come around and they come to interact with him, they were blessing him in return. And if you then go further to look at what Solomon did, it's recorded that Solomon had so much knowledge. He says he knows all the trees. He knew about 3,000 proverbs. You know, even my research said, they said that he read all the books, the four books of Moses. That's because that was available at that time. You know, he studied a lot. Now, this is someone God said is going to give him wisdom. But Solomon did not just go to bed and say that wisdom will automatically drop on me overnight. He studied and acquired so much knowledge. And when it was time to apply that knowledge, the grace God had released on him was there. And people came and they came to interact with him just to hear that massive fountain of knowledge that he had. And as they were coming, they were blessing him. They were blessing him. He was well respected and was very successful. So the gift and hard work made way for Solomon. So I went into the Proverbs. As we know, Solomon is recorded as Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. So I went into the book of Proverbs and I tried to see what did Solomon say about knowledge. Proverbs 15:14, the contemporary English version says, the mind of the intelligent and discerning seeks knowledge and eagerly inquires after it, but the mouth of the fool feeds on foolishness. Anyone with good sense is eager to learn more. That's what the CEV version says. So Solomon says that, see, if you are a smart person, if you're an intelligent person, you will seek knowledge because knowledge is power. Now, that's me adding that last bit there. Proverbs 18 talks, it goes further in Proverbs 18. It says, the mind of the prudent always acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise always seek knowledge. In verse 16, he then goes on saying, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Now, he did not say, by default, because you are born again, you will automatically get to the top. He's not saying because you are born again, people are just going to say, oh, yeah, he's a born again Christian. It's just because you sit down at home and read the Bible all day that suddenly your big doors will start opening and everything. He says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. And that is him that was blessed by God. He knows that the gift that God has given unto him, and he acquiring knowledge by studying more and more, made room for him. Proverbs 8:10 says, let instruction and knowledge mean more to you than silver or the finest gold. You know, some of us, we're chasing money and we're thinking, oh, that will solve all our problems. This is one of the greatest men that ever lived in his time. There's no one greater than him, saying, let instruction and knowledge mean more to you. Because you know what? When you have those, these other things, you'll be able to get it easily. Then I decided to look at some other people in the Bible and try to see other people that looked at knowledge as key. I remember the story of Jesus while he was growing up, and when he was 12 years old, and it's recorded that he was found in the temple asking intelligent questions and interacting with the people. With the leaders in there. And when the mom came, he said, don't you have to be about my father's business? Now, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, who we say is equal to God, is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son is part of the three. But he still made sure that he went to seek knowledge while he was on earth. Before his ministry started, he was asking intelligent questions. He was studying the word, you know, the book of Isaiah. You know, he was studying what was available there. Look at the disciples. For the 3 years that they spent with Jesus during his ministry, you know, he talked about when the year that Jesus was praying, they went to him, their Father, Lord, teach us how to pray. They desire that knowledge. It wasn't a case that they just sat there thinking, you know what, we are the disciples, we are born again Christians, let's just sit there. Ability to learn how to pray, we'll just wake up one morning and we'll just know how to pray. They asked to be taught. They wanted that knowledge of how to pray. You know, when they tried, when after Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, when they tried to deliver the boy possessed and they couldn't, they could have just said, you know what, Jesus is done it, let's move on. They inquired, why were we not able to do this? We failed. Why did we fail? You know, last year we did not achieve our goals. Did you go back to say, God, why didn't I achieve those goals? Because when I received the prayer, when I received at the beginning of the year, I was so convinced that, Lord, you have spoken and this is going to happen this year. Now, when it did not happen, did you go back to God? No, you probably just packed it up and said, it's the will of God. All things work together for our good. And you moved to the next year and you wrote a new list. But these guys, when they failed, they did not just pack it under or push it under the bus or under the carpet. They went back to God to say, why were we not able to do this? They were trying to learn if they've made any mistakes. You know, they were asking, they asked Jesus about the second coming. They know how to be a leader. Different things for 3 years. And when Jesus was going to leave in John 14, 26, he said, you know what? I've taught you a lot, but the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit who will teach you more. Because knowledge is key for us to be successful in this life. As Christians, in all areas of our life, we need to know what to do. We need to know the will of God for our life, and we need to how to pursue. Praise the Lord. All right, so if you look at one of the things that took place in Isaiah 4:6, when God was talking to the prophet about what's happening to the people, he says, it's very common, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, although you could easily say that wasn't referring to knowledge as far how things are operating in the world today. But trust me, you can apply that to what's happening now. People of God, we believers, we are being destroyed. We are lacking. We are suffering because we do not know any better. Look at what happened when they decided, in Colossians, you know, if you read what happened in chapter 1, verse 9, you know, what it says that for this reason, since the day we heard, so the disciples heard of things happening in Colossians. What did they say? We have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. Because they understood that if you know the will of God for your life, things will be easier. You know what is going to happen and how it's going to happen. It goes on in verse 10 that, you know what? You will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, personal integrity, to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good works, and steadily growing in the knowledge of God. You know, a lot of us, we have plans, we have goals, but we are not able to achieve it. I tried to look at the definition of knowledge. It says facts, information, skills acquired through experience or education. A lot of famous people have also tried to quote the understanding of knowledge. Benjamin Franklin says, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. You know, the former UN Secretary Kofi Annan says, knowledge is power. Information is liberating. Education is the premise of progress in every society, in every family. Now, these are people that have been out there, that they've seen that knowledge is key. Now, what are the benefits of we acquiring knowledge as believers? Number one, freedom. freedom. It says here in John 8:32, and you will know the truth. What is the truth? The truth regarding salvation, deliverance, riches, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin, bondage, poverty, stagnation. The reason why a lot of believers are still in bondage, are still in sin, are still in poverty, are still in stagnant, is because they do not know any better. If only they know the truth, it will set them free. That's what the Bible says. It's not me. It's in John 8:32. It talks about exploits in Daniel 11:32, that those who do wickedly against the covenant, it shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. New KJV. The people who know their God. See, if you know God, you will do great exploits. If we claim that we know God and we're not doing exploits, then there is a problem. It talks about strength. A wise, in Proverbs 24:5, that a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge strengthens his power. A man of knowledge has the advantage of strength and is powerful. When you have knowledge, you are going to be free because you know what is holding you down. When you have knowledge, you will do great exploits. When you have knowledge, you will increase in strength. So let's talk about how to acquire knowledge. The Word of God. Psalms 119 verse 105 talks about how the Word of God is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you know the Word of God, you will know the will of God for your life. You know what God's plan is for your life. You know how God operates. A lot of us believers, we keep saying we want to know God more. God, I want to be more like you. Take more of me and give me. We pray every single day, but we are not ready to study the word that will give us the knowledge, the information about that same God. Thank God for last Wednesday when we talked about having a quality quiet time. You need to spend time to read the word, to know God, to know how God operates, to know how God, one of the ways God speaks is through his word. Spend time in studying the word. When you have those spiritual goals, it's not about writing them down and hoping that you will wake up one morning and all those things will suddenly appear. You need to know God more by studying his word. Holy Spirit, you acquire knowledge when the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. Look at what happened between between the disciples and Jesus in Matthew 16. He asked them, did the people say I am? They said a lot of things. He asked them, what did they think they are? And Peter blurted out and said it. And what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood has not revealed that, because that knowledge couldn't have come from a logical thinking. You know, the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. I remember at the beginning of this year, part of my goals, I had a list of things to achieve. And within the first 2 months, some things came up and it looked quite impossible. And I went back and I prayed. And I was communing with the Holy Spirit and it spoke to me and said, why don't you do it this way, do it that way, and like that. And guess what? I was so overjoyed of what I thought was impossible just by speaking with the Holy Spirit. He told me what it is. And immediately I saw a way out. That is divine knowledge. You know, one of the quotes earlier by one of the famous people, he says that it's Confucius. I think it's one of those old people. Sorry. It says the man who says he can and the man who says he can't are both correct. Because the one that says he can is because he knows how he can do it. Why the one that says he can't is because he doesn't know how to do it. So they are both correct. There's something missing. Knowledge. Just by me speaking, the Holy Spirit revealed how I can resolve that issue. And I was quite happy. I was even giving a testimony in church. How do you acquire knowledge? Through books and journals. I remember while growing up, there was a book I read from Reverend Sam Adeyemi. It's the Parable of Dollars. I read that book and it blew my mind up. And guess what? That was one of the books that made me go into be an entrepreneur. Because at that age in the university, in my 100 levels, I started a business And up until I came to the UK, that business was quite profitable. I was making a good margin. All because I read the book and the Holy Spirit spoke to me through the revelation, the knowledge, the things in the book. The other, last year, Professor DeSoya and Mommy, they gave me a book about curses and blessings. You know, when I read that book, it opened my mind. It enlightened me about things in the world, a lot of things that we overlook and that could possibly have brought in curses into our lives. It made me realize how to be careful in my interaction, things I used to overlook before. It made me more conscious of it, all because I read the book. If you want knowledge about a particular area, about a particular business, read. Read from experiences of people. Read from people that have revelation on that subject. Also, in ways of acquiring knowledge, we need to interact with experienced people. People, professionals, resourceful people. In the church, we like to keep to ourselves thinking we can do it all by ourselves. We just want to do it so that when we say the testimony, it's going to look big, that I did it by myself. I thought about it by myself. And guess what? If you keep waiting for yourself to do it, you're killing time and you're wasting resources. Speak with other people that have got experience in that field. Is it your career? Speak with them. People that in that field, what am I doing wrong? Or what do I need to do? What have I not been doing to not achieve my result? Look at what happened in the city of Ephesus. The disciples there, you know, they've given their life to Christ. They've been doing everything by their own power, but they never knew that there was something called the Holy. There was someone called the Holy Spirit. And it says that when Paul got there and he was having an interaction with them, and he asked them if they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they said, "What is that? We've never heard of that before." Lack of knowledge. They were using so much energy. But as soon as they acquired that knowledge, things became better. Proverbs 13:20 talks about he who walks with wise men will be wise, and the companions of fools themselves, the companions of fools will experience harm. Now, let me give you one practical example at this stage. Last year, so every year when I and my family and a few friends across the UK that we knew each other back in Nigeria, we used to have a reunion every year. And one of us is a successful, property developer. You know, and when we met, one of the things they tried to do is we tried to encourage ourselves. And one of the families that came are based in Scotland, a doctor, the wife is a doctor, the husband is an engineer. You know, and we spoke and we're all talking about, okay, how come you guys don't have a mortgage? And they come up with all these excuses because of lack of knowledge. To the best of their understanding, they come up with all these reasons. And because they spoke in a gathering of people that had better knowledge, can you believe that 3 months after that reunion, they moved into their own property? And 3 months before then, they thought things were impossible. All because they spoke with people. I know of someone else that part of the goal she listed out for last year was she went to move into her own house. But rather than waiting and sitting down that someday someone would knock on her door and buy the keys to a new house. I'm not saying that's not possible, but rather than waiting, she sat down, she spoke with people and said, this is my goal. You seem to have a better knowledge than me. How can I achieve that? Even though when all that goal was listed, at the prime moment, she was almost giving up, but then she was being encouraged. And by the end of the year, she achieved that goal. Whereas one other person, wanted to buy a car, and he was told to speak to someone that had knowledge about buying cars. Now, that person advised him, but this person still went back to do what he felt was right based on his own level of knowledge. At the end of the day, he made a big error by buying a car that was that had finance on it. So the car wasn't his. He lost money. And this is because he went against advice from someone else that had that knowledge. So to acquire knowledge, you need to, don't keep to yourself, open your mind up, speak to other people. One of the things I like about, I know some people might not support me on this, but one of the things I like about the Muslim people, the descendants of Ishmael, is for one weird reason, They support one another. They work together. They're happy to share information that they have about any area. So if you go talk about business, they wouldn't, as long as the person is also a Muslim like them, to some extent, they're happy to share knowledge of how they've achieved something so that they can all grow together. I was even told that the reason why you have a lot of people like that in politics is because they kept sharing information of how they can make it into the UK political system. That whereas you find a lot of Christians is a case of, you know what, I am there and I want to remain there. I don't want any other person to be on the same level with me, you know. But anyway, let's move on. So what are the dangers for lack of knowledge? Foolishness, wasted resources. You know, you will keep doing the thing over and over again because you lack knowledge. Delay, things that you should have achieved. Remember, the grace has been released unto us as children of God to prosper. The grace has been released unto children of God for us to get to the top. Guess what? I do not believe that I cannot make it in this country or I cannot get to the top. Regardless of my skin color, regardless of where I'm coming from, regardless of my accent, I am not bothered. Because guess what I've realized? If you have knowledge and backing of God, doors will open unto you. Many of us, what we want is we keep praying for promotion, but we're not willing to acquire that knowledge that is needed to be at that level. We just pray, I want God to put us there. We want to be, you know, some of us, we've learned that maybe this career path is the one that is currently is the future. Fine, you have that information, but rather than going to study or rather than you doing investigation or trying to acquire knowledge about that, no, you stay there, you keep praying, saying, God, I want to get there, but you don't want to spend time to study and acquire the knowledge that will make you relevant in that area. If you don't have knowledge, there will be weariness, there will be frustration because you keep going every year, you keep going to Shiloh. I keep saying Shiloh, like FOL, you know, you keep praying, putting the same list over and over again, and all that is you require for you to do is maybe just speak to somebody, they will tell you how they can do it. Some of us, we are stuck in our own mindset. It's because there is no money. I tell you, you do not need money to achieve some things. You only think it's money because that's your level of knowledge. And when you keep going every year and you're not achieving your goals, you're going to start, there's tendency for you to start doubting God. Because you go to FOL, you write your list down, it looks like it's going to happen. Then the year ends and it doesn't happen. It's either God is a liar or you've not done something right. So why do you want to then believe that God is the liar? Why don't you believe that you are the one who have not done something right? And go back and check, what have I not done if God has said it's going to be my year? Also, if you lack knowledge, there will be stagnancy. You're not going to be moving forward. In summary, because of time, one of the things Sister Fumi said last year is that we need to be, last week, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional, purposeful, deliberate about the things we want to achieve this year. I'm not going to sit down and wait for things to just happen like that. We need you, I need you to make a plan. This is what I want to achieve. One of my goals for this year, I said, God, I want to know you more. And when this lockdown began, I was enjoying sleeping till 5 minutes before 9. So that at 9 o'clock, I just wake up, say a short prayer, and I log onto my laptop and begin work. And the Holy Spirit says, if you want to know God more, you need to make a plan. And then I set an alarm, wake up an hour earlier, and spend time in the place. Because for me to know God, I need to spend the time in prayer. You need to make a plan. You know, to achieve your goals is not by lottery or by magic. You need to have knowledge of what you want to achieve, of that field. People are saying that, oh yeah, there might be a recession. I do not care if whatever the world says. I know that the goals that God gave me at the beginning of this year, I'll still achieve them regardless of what's going out there. Because if I don't achieve them, it's either, like I said, God is a liar or I have not done something right. And as we know, God cannot lie. Also, one of the things we keep doing is we keep waiting for God to do everything. You know, God has said, look at what happened. Isaac blessed Jacob. God released his grace upon Solomon. But he went out, he read books, he learned a lot. He read a lot about what is happening out there. Some of us, we know God has released this grace unto us, but we're waiting for God to also come and deliver it physically. It says in 2 Peter 1:3 that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. What are your spiritual goals for this year? Is it an excellent quiet time? Is it that you want to know God more? Study the word, fast, pray, relate more with the Holy Spirit. Get a study partner. If you do not understand something, speak to someone else that has a better knowledge. Is it your career goals? You want a promotion? Find out, do you need a new skill to get to that level? Upskill yourself. Learn something new. Get a mentor. You see, people that are in business, the reason why your business might not be moving forward is not because there's a witch hunt or there is some devil somewhere preventing you. It could be as simple as you need to market or strategize in a different way. For there to be an harvest, there must be a seed. What are your family goals? You know, some people, they might say, oh yeah, I want my children. Oh, I want my son, my daughter to be better. If there is someone else that you know and you admire the way they've trained their child, why don't you speak to them? Is there something you are doing that I am not doing? Rather than trying to live your life in isolation, find out what is working out there for somebody else. Teach your kids a new thing. Ask questions. Do you have personal goals? You want to get a mortgage? Is that part of your goals for this year? Speak to someone that already has a mortgage or someone that seems to be in property to find out. You want to get a new car? See, the cheapest way to get a car is not by finance. But in your level of knowledge, you might think that's the best way. You want to get a new job, find out from someone that is in that area what's going on. You want to do home improvement, look for someone's house that has got that kind of improvement. I always believe in having resourceful people. People that can always tell me the best way to achieve things because they've been there. I don't want to make a mistake when someone else has done it already. Our life is not a competition, and the body of Christ should be a place of love and not envy and jealousy. I want to live my life, and not just so that I will be at the top, but that as many of my brothers and sisters can come to the top with me. But what happens in the body of Christ is you find a lot of people want to get there and want to hide the secret so that other people can be below, so that they can be worshipped, so that they can be seen as, oh yeah, that person is a blessing. What would that, see, the sky is big enough for every one of us. We shouldn't be happy that someone else is not growing. If there is true love, we should be concerned that someone else is not making improvements in their life. We should be open to seek knowledge. We should be open to want to ask questions, not try to say, I'm going to do my own, so that when I say my testimony, they'll say, wow, you know, I did it all by myself. Ask people. And also, if you are the person that has enough knowledge, share with other people. Let's learn to be together as one in the body of Christ. People that are not wise will prefer to make that mistake rather than learn from others, like I mentioned earlier. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to stop here. And what I want us to take away majorly from today's message is one of the reasons why I found that a lot of Christians are not growing, are not making impact. It's not necessary because there's a witch hunt towards us. It's because we just don't know any better. I've got two friends. One is a Ghanaian, another is an Indian, and they believe that there's racism, that they try to prevent us from moving because of our background. They will prevent us from moving up and things like that. But I told them, see, if you know the child of whom you are, for me, I'm a child of God, and I have the right knowledge, doors will open. I will know where to press the buttons. I will know where to apply for a job. I don't see myself underprivileged, and I'll never teach my child to see themselves less privileged than a Caucasian in this society. Because we are children of God, and God reigns supreme above anyone or anything in this on this earth or in this country. And guess what? I'll be successful. And everyone will see me, will see my family. And not just that, I want us to all go together. Let's just say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, and I give you glory. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this message today, that as they take a bold step to move forward by seeking the right knowledge that they need, Father, give them the grace to find it in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, places that seem to have been, doors that seem to have been shut, or people that seem to have been stagnant just because they don't know how to move out or how to go forward, Father, release the knowledge of what to do unto them in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and adoration unto your name. We thank you because this year is our year. Regardless of what is out there, we are going to achieve our goals. We are going to come out successful at the end of this year, and we'll have cause to glorify your name. Thank you, God, for answering our prayer. For in Jesus' name we pray.